And welcome back to Grassroots Marketing here on CannabisRadio.com. Well, you know, here on this program and on Blunt Business, we've talked quite a bit about the New York adult use market. And, you know, we want to go and talk, and I think as we've talked social media, I think we're blue in the face. I think we've, you know, really gone through and exhausted going through that conversation. But how about those that have made the licensing process, made it through, and were able to go and open their own conditional adult use dispensary? Let's go and talk about that with someone that is a co-owner of a C-A-U-R-D. C-A-U-R-D, the card program, right? One of the first to open on Manhattan's Upper East Side. It's the Herbal Care THC LLC, and I'm here with Markel Babakov.
Babakov. Thank you for having me.
Would be like that, right? Yeah, Markel, thanks for being on with us.
Of course. And my last name is Babakov, one of the hardest last names to pronounce, so you did a great job.
Babakov. Just getting used to it. You know, when you get into the, I mean, and I'm sure everybody probably goes to the same thing when they hear it, sir. So you came from California and decided you wanted to go ahead and make it into this, in here, and you got involved in the legacy market as well. So take me through the process of what it was to go from California, a very crowded market, and go into a new market, and also your involvement with the legacy market.
Of course. So I'm a Queens native. Moved to Queens when I was 2 years old, lived there my whole life practically. And at 21, I moved to Los Angeles for the cannabis market. When I moved there, I opened up a manufacturing facility in the legacy market. I had an extraction facility where we were extracting the THC compounds, CBD, CBN, all that good stuff. And, you know, putting it into vapes, concentrates. And again, this was before any legislation was written about it, any licensing was done. This is when California, this is when vaping concentrates was just hitting the market in LA. About, I want to say like 7-8 years ago when people were still blowing up in their garages. And that's when I got into it. And that's pretty much when I realized cannabis is what I want to do and I'm really good at it. So it started with extractions, making vapes, making concentrates, dabbing, introducing people to like just the new wonders of concentrates. And all these years later, I wanted to go legal for obvious reasons. So I had the opportunity to get the card license. And with God's grace, I got it 2 years later, opened up the first dispensary on the Upper East Side, legal one. But yeah, I was in the legacy market for about 7 years. We served about 150 to 200 dispensaries from Los Angeles to Las Vegas twice a week. The company was called Extraction Artist. We sold it to Liquid Gold. Recently, actually, because I was supposed to get out of the business if I wanted to own a dispensary. So yeah, that's how I got out of that business and ended up getting a card license 2 years ago.
So now New York Times, earlier this week, as we're recording this episode, they went through and talked about where Governor Hochul wants to go and do a overhaul of the Cannabis Control Board, the Office of Cannabis Management. A lot of things going on with that. And
a lot.
One of the things that was being brought up especially is the fact that with the amount of licensed dispensaries that have been opened up so far, a little over 100, they said, at this point in New York City alone, but then there's over 1,000 illicit shops all over the place. Now, you're understanding the legacy market. You know, for those that find the easier path to go and go here, of course they're getting cracked down, but it's going to take so long to go after all of them and be able to get the warrants or whatever kind of paperwork you're going to be able to go ahead and shut them down to go to court, whatever they have to do. When you look at that and you came out and said that, you know, you're coming here to compete against the illicit market and the larger MSOs, what is it that you can do right now as a business owner or that business owners can do to curb? Because obviously law enforcement can't keep up.
No, they can't. You know, law enforcement can't do anything, unfortunately, because of the way the regulation was built. Cops have no control. They can't do anything to the illegal shops. And it's really unfortunate because I'm paying six figures in taxes in 2 months. And these illegal shops aren't paying a dollar. And they're reaping all the benefits. In order, like, for me to open up a dispensary, I have to spend God near $1 million just to open it up. Of my own money. To open up an illegal dispensary, which let's just call it a convenience store or a smoke shop, I mean, under 100K. You know, and it's not okay. It's not being regulated. They're allowed to sell. You know what? There was a really amazing study done. They bought about 200 products from the illegal market, and then they tested them. The amount of lead, metals, pesticide, poop, all this nonsense that was in it. It's just disgusting. You know, I would not recommend anybody ever buying from the illicit market. Mm-hmm. Thank God, you know, the rollout is doing great right now. There's a lot of legal shops. You need to support your legal shops, or unfortunately, you're always going to have that garbage on the streets that genuinely you don't want. You don't want kids smoking. You don't want little kids going buying pot. You don't want to smoke garbage. You want to smoke lab-tested products that are really good and really safe. And that's what we sell. And unless Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul really, you know, I don't even know. They just really need to take it by the, I don't know if I can curse here, but they got to shut them all up, shut them all down, you know? They have to shut them down, or else all the money, I mean, I believe just the 100 dispensaries that are open right now invested about $60 million between all of us. That's $60 million that we can lose in 2 years if these 1,000 illegal shops turn into 3,000 illegal shops. You know, so it's a lot of money that the city is banking on to make from us. And if they want the tax dollars and they want us to succeed, they need to shut them down. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have to shut them down. Smoke out, the bill has to pass. Everybody needs to support smoke out, and we need us all to pass it as soon as possible.
So there's a couple of things I want to bring up that come from your background. First of all, you owned a dry cleaning company, which you did dry cleaning for the movie and TV industry in New York. So obviously a lot of costuming and things like that.
Yes.
You also had a construction company, and you were remodeling residential homes. So you were quite the entrepreneur, branching out to different areas. And then you decided to go ahead and make the point to come into, first of all, you were in California again, about 8 years ago, you say, and you know, that's really, that's where we really know that, you know, Prop 64 was already in place. The adult use market was really burgeoning right then and there.
It was doing so well. And now, unfortunately, Los Angeles, the market's really bad. And New York is going to become that if they don't stop giving out all these licenses to every single person. But go ahead, keep going.
Thing was, then you decided to try to go ahead and go for a retail dispensary license in California, did not qualify. Then you make it
California, Las Vegas, Colorado, Oregon. I applied, I think, to like 12 different states every time they get legal. And I probably spent about $50,000 just on licensing fees.
Oh, yeah.
And I got shot down every time. Every time. I just never qualified.
So I have an upcoming interview with a consultant, Sarah Gullickson, who's with CB Advisors. And she made the point about, you know, this is also important because we made the point on that program that will be coming out at just at the end of April. And she mentioned a point about how many, again, those licensing fees you're paying right there, $50,000, that's non-refundable. You're not getting any of that back, correct?
Nope. Not a dollar of that is coming back to me.
That applies also to the social equity applicants if they're paying $10,000, $10,000, whatever it is.
Yeah,
easily, a non-refundable.
Easily, yeah.
So course. That's an I easy mean, you're a social drop
equity for, applicant, but you're still paying a lot of money for the license in the store.
So there's money off the initial licenses. You know, if they get it and they get denied, then there's a part of, you know, where you have people that come in and, you know, they want a grant or they want some kind of funding to come in, but they're not realizing they're getting a public-private partnership. A public bank is coming in. NPR reported on it. I've said it a billion times so far. 12 to 13% interest rate. They have to pay that back on top of that. They probably don't even know about that. All these things.
Yeah, agreed.
So when you looked at, was there anything, because you say you came for the legacy market, was social equity, was going to the social equity program or going to their investment fund, was that an option or was that something you just wanted to clear away from?
I'll be honest with you. When I first found out about the program, I thought it was going to be something completely different. The city, and listen, I'm not going to shit on New York because they gave me
I'm just saying the obstacles. This is amazing. Had. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is an amazing opportunity and I thank God every day for it. But New York made it seem like this is going to be something completely different. Like you just mentioned the fund. When in the initial stages of the application, when I started, yes, I thought I was going to use the fund. And then when I started talking to them, I quickly realized that they're just thieves. And I will never partner up with somebody like that. We actually don't have any partners. It's just me and my brother. I sold one business. My brother sold one business and we invested our life savings, truthfully. You know, the fund was an option in the beginning when I thought it was going to be something completely different. I mean, they were talking about grants and they were talking about low interest loans. And it was just something. I mean, if I would have taken this grant, they would have owned my business, essentially. you know, and that's not something I'm interested in doing.
Amazing what you're going through with this. Now, real quickly, let's go ahead and talk about the Herbal Care. By the way, address is 1412 Lexington Avenue. So it's between East 92nd and 93rd Street, west of 3rd Avenue, or I'm trying to get my part. And then also east of Park Avenue for the folks out there. That's pretty much your kind of your section. So really nice part of town. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, you have several hundred people that are visiting the stores. Pretty well-trafficked area. You got a lot of employees on board. And again, the plan is to expand to all five boroughs. How's that looking so far?
Well, we're in the middle of looking at our second location right now. So with God's grace, hopefully in the next 6 months, my second store will be open. I'm partnering up with other card licensees who don't have the funds to open up their own stores, and they don't want to use DASNY money. So I'm partnering up with a few other cards in Staten Island and Long Island, which we're going to be opening up, hopefully, the Staten Island location in the next like 3 to 4 months, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be the first drive-through location in New York. But yeah, man, there's just a lot of people who got these licenses and they just don't have the money, and DASNY just lies to everybody. So it's just, you know, there really is a big opportunity here in New York right now, an amazing opportunity. But unfortunately, just because you have this license doesn't mean you're going to make any money, truthfully. You know, the amount of licenses, like when New York first gave this spiel out to all of us, like, hey, you're going to get licenses. They made it seem like they're only going to give so many licenses out. And, you know, the license is going to be valued at something. With the amount of licenses they're giving out now, quite like, you know, it's going to get overpopulated very, very quickly. I don't know if you had a chance to go on the OCM website and look at the proximity protection map. But just this month alone, I think another 60, 70 shops are opening up in Manhattan, which is, again, the rollout needs to happen. I get it. People, we need legal weed. We need legal cannabis.
And we need it to be accessible. Like, I mean, location, location, location. Because one thing I'll tell you is that when I'm looking on the Google Maps right now, like, I mean, around you, well, it's just like everywhere else in New York City. You know, you want to hit a Dunkin' Donuts, throw a rock, you hit one. You want to hit a Starbucks, rock, throw a run, you'll get there. You want to hit a Duane Reade, there's all these retail shops that they need to be in proximity within every two blocks, basically, just to be able to cover all of New York City proper.
Exactly.
Is that something when you look at about what the location needs to be, because for a cannabis dispensary, to be able to have it in the right place where, you know, are you near the subway? Are you, you know, is it going to be easy access to get around? And, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Cannabis is probably one of the most regulated industries in America. And not only is it so regulated, but it's one of the least profitable industries as well. The profit margins, compared to my construction company, profit margins are about 30-40%. Dry cleaning, about 25-30%. In cannabis, because of the 280E law, because of the federal tax code, it's quite literally under 10%. And I'm not even joking when I say that. The only reason it makes sense for someone like me is because I have a very, very good marketing background. And I have a huge marketing budget, which I hope everybody does what I do, or else they just won't succeed, because every store opening up plus the illicit market, I don't see where this is going to go besides for LA right now at $20 an eighth, $20 for a vape, you know, which is ridiculous. But that's where LA is now. And I don't want to see New York get to that, because, you know, truthfully, if the second we start dropping our prices to such a low point, then why are we doing this?
Right.
You know, what's the point of this? The city needs to make their money. The business owners needs to make their money. The investors need to make their money. And the consumer needs to save money, right? Yeah. But the way it's going, just with the rollout and with OCM, it's just been one big shit show, man. One big shit show. Am I glad to be a part of the shit show? Of course. Like, right. I'm quite literally, you're making history right now, you know, in New York. And I'm so glad to be a part of it. But at the same time, out of all the businesses I've ever opened, this is probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. No, and also, I mean, you have to imagine how much do you need to be able to have as backup, the reserves you need for yourself to go and be able to sustain when you have those lean months going across.
Yeah,
let's go to the website itself. THCTheHerbalCare.com. Make sure to add that in the front. THCTheHerbalCare.com. Quite a few brands you have right out here, you know, full line when it comes to edibles, pre-rolls, vapes, concentrates, edibles. Some of the product I'm looking at right now, the brand names Back Home is one very popular in the flower range. For vaporizers, you have Packs and Dosist and Heirloom. We're very familiar with those. And
yes,
when I look as well, I saw Tyson in there for edibles. I see that there's 1906. there's a lot of good products in this in market. And just wanted to go in, you know, an urban extract quite a bit for your concentrates and what you put across.
Yes.
So relationships you have and what you're able to build on your own in terms of what you're supplying in that inventory, what's on the shelves?
So, you know, I'm happy to say we're one of the biggest shops in New York. And we have about 600 SKUs. Uh-huh. We have everything from indoor flower to greenhouse flower to outdoor flower to live resin carts, distillate carts, 1 gram cart, half gram cart, every edible you can think of, from chocolate to gummies to hot cocoa or tea, literally, we have everything for everyone. Like I said, 600 SKUs, one of the biggest stores in New York. And, you know, we did that for a reason. I wanted to make sure I cater to everybody. You know, anybody that comes in my store, I would like them to be able to find something. And thank God, I think we've definitely hit that on the head, hit it on the head with that. But some of, I think, our best products are, like, I wouldn't say our best products. The fastest moving products, the best sellers, are probably going to be Heirloom, MFNY, and packs.
Yep. Yep. Good products. Very familiar with them.
Great products.
Now, the other thing I also noticed, you are offering delivery. What's the delivery range that you're offering right now? And I mean, you know, when I was in New York going back, you know, about a year ago last year, I was in New York to watch some NCAA tournament basketball. And let me tell you, like, when you look at just the landscape out there and the amount of deliveries going on, like, no more yellow taxis, they're all Ubers, but I see a whole lot of bikers out there, a lot of bicyclists out there delivering all over the place. So I can imagine, how is that working out for Herbal Care, and what kind of coverage can you make?
You know, I'm not going to lie. Deliveries have been great. We just launched deliveries March 1st. Since then, I signed a really cool contract where we got 35 hotels in New York, some of the biggest hotels in New York, exclusively marketing the Herbal Care in every single room. So we get a bunch of deliveries to hotels, and then just our local market on the West Side, East Side, Midtown. We deliver everywhere from 120th all the way to 40s on the East and West Side.
That's a lot of coverage. That's a lot. That's a lot of coverage,
yes. And hopefully in the next couple of months, we'll start delivering to Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens once our other locations start opening up. But as of now, the only coverage we don't have is downtown Lower East Side.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, the plan is to expand to other boroughs. Let's see what happens with it. But there's quite a bit of coverage you're making so far. THCTheHerbalCare.com. THCTheHerbalCare.com. And again, address is 1412 Lexington Avenue. Again, between 93rd and 94th Street and between Park Avenue and 3rd Avenue. So make sure to go ahead and check out Markel and the team there. Markel, thank you again for being on with us. Really appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys. And really thank you for just, you know, putting an eye on the important issues for cannabis in New York, because there are a lot of things that we need to work on. The illicit market, the legal market, and, you know, everybody's cooperation is really going to help New York a lot.
Right.
So I really appreciate you doing this for us.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.